I am glad to be with the Church of the Dropouts, the losers, the sinners, the failures, and the fools today. I had no idea Jesse was going to play that song, but that song and that album by Switchfoot, John Foreman, actually changed my life. That phrase changed my life. So let's go on a journey together for a few minutes today. I want to start with Psalm 13. I know y'all gone through the Psalms. You've probably been past Psalm 13, but we're going to go back there for a little bit. So I'll start with this. Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer. Lord, my God, give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death. And my enemy will say, I have overcome him, and my foes will rejoice when I fall. Now, this is a song. It says at the beginning of this, for the director of music, that this was a psalm of David. They would sing this to God. How long, O Lord, will you hide your face from me? You ever had that? You have that feeling when you lay down? You have that feeling when you wake up? I want to talk to you about waiting today. See, I'll share a little bit of my story. I was walking at the zoo with my mother. She was in town from Arkansas. And my 2.5-year-old son. And we were walking over near the turtles at the Birmingham Zoo. And I get a phone call. My wife was at her regular checkup. She was pregnant with my soon-to-be daughter about 2 months before the end of her pregnancy. Regular checkups, everything had been fine. She goes in, I get the phone call, and she says, there's something wrong. Something's not right, and the doctors don't know what it is. But Ellis, we had already named her, Ellis Catherine, is not growing. And my heart sunk, and I began to feel quickly the way that David felt. And so very soon after that, Jennifer went on bed rest. She had to go to the doctor weekly and get measured, make sure the baby was doing all right. And the baby, she really was not doing well for a little while. She wasn't growing properly. There was something wrong, and she barely made it to 37 weeks. She was born 4 pounds, 12 ounces. And rush you to the end of the story. She's about to turn 8 years old, and she is fine. But she wasn't fine. And we sat in that, and we wept, and we cried, and my friends came over and helped do work on my house and brought donuts to my bedridden pregnant wife. Thank you, Ryan. A 6-pack of Dunkin' Donuts, all for her. French cream with the powdered sugar. Betty wants some. Oh, I'm sure they were good. She didn't let me have any. Don't touch those donuts. Oh, and it was only 5 or 6 months later. I was in Flippin, Arkansas. Literally, that's the name of the town my wife is from. The first thing you see when you come into town is the Flippin Church of God, followed by the Flippin Police Department and the Flippin City Hall. No lie. We were eating at El Chico, and I got the call, and I stepped outside because I knew it was a doctor. My son had had a fever. He wasn't doing well, had some blood work done, and I get the call that he has an immune deficiency and he can't fight off bacterial infections. And we needed to get home so that he could be seen by the doctor so they could figure out how to treat this. And then quickly after that, he developed a fever for 3 months. We couldn't figure that out. And after having him scanned for cancer and every other thing they could think of, they came up with a diagnosis of an autoimmune disorder called juvenile arthritis. His joints hurt. We found out why he cried all the time, because he always hurt. Now, thank God that there's a treatment for that. And he is managed in his life now. But when he was about 5 years old, we were laying in bed together, and we had prayed every night. Every night when I would put him to bed, we prayed every night for God to heal him. Now, I've experienced in my life with my wife and some of her health issues that she had miraculous healing. I believe God does that, and now I have personal experience with that. And yet, I prayed over and over and over again for my son to be healed, and he wasn't. And at about 5 years old, he looked at me and he said, "Dad, we prayed that every night. Why hasn't God healed me yet?" And I said, "God, I need something right now, because I don't have anything for him." And I want to take us back to the Old Testament, to Isaiah 40. And the only thing I could come up with, and I believe God gave this to me, was a verse from Isaiah 40. I said, "Son, I don't know why God hadn't healed you yet. But this is what God says. We're going to wait on God and we're going to keep praying every night." And y'all, he's 10 years old. He still has juvenile arthritis. And I'm going to read. He says, "Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary, increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." And I said, "Son, the Bible says, and we believe in this Bible, we believe in what God says, the Bible says that if we wait on God, that we will walk and not get tired." See, he has feet problems and it hurts to walk. Now, he can walk a short distance, but when we go on long walks, his feet hurt. So we will walk and not grow weary. We won't get tired. And if we wait on the Lord, we will mount up with wings like eagles. And my son looked me dead in the eye and he said, "You mean God's going to make me fly?" And I said, "No, son, but you'll run fast enough. You'll run fast enough. You'll feel like you're flying." If we wait on the Lord, I shared with some of our friends at our campus ministry just this last week that Paul was blinded on the road to Damascus, right? Somewhere between 8 and 14 years later, Paul goes on his first missionary journey. Paul sat at the feet of teachers, of Christians, of the people he had been persecuting for up to 14 years. He had to wait before he could take his message. Abraham had to wait for his child. Moses, I have a good friend that says, "A decade's not a big deal to God," and that makes me mad. I don't want to wait. In fact, 40 years is not that big a deal to God. Moses took things into his own hand. He killed the slave master who was mistreating one of his people, and Moses spent 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, tending sheep before he got to come back. Moses had to wait. And my good friend Chris Corder pointed this out to me the other day. When God and Jesus, Holy Spirit, sat down at the chalkboard of eternity and wrote out the plan for eternity, they said, you're going to have to go down there and be with them. You will know what it's like to be one of them. And you will bear their burdens and their violence. And you will save them. And you're going to be born into this time. And they're going to write some cool stuff about your birth. And people are going to sing great songs. One dude's going to wait till you're born. He's going to keel over dead right then because he's finally seen you. And then when you're 12, you're going to go with your parents to the temple. And you're going to wow and amaze the elders. And your parents are going to get ticked because they thought you were with them and you weren't. And then after age 12, nobody's going to write squat about you for 18 years. Nothing. The Son of God. Development, patience, waiting is so important that for the Son of God to experience, as Hebrews says, we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but he was tempted in every way, but without sin. For that to exist, he had to spend 18 years hammering out tables and chairs. The Son of God had to be. The Bible says he grew in favor and stature with God and man. The Son of God had to wait. And so we wait with him. We wait. I mentioned the difficulty of my wife's pregnancy. And Paul is kind of a fan. Paul is kind of a fan of this metaphor, this illustration of our waiting. And it's not fun. Some of you guys are waiting for stuff that's well beyond what I understand. Some of you have been waiting for a long time. In fact, a friend of Jesse's, I was listening to a book of his this morning, and he said, maybe you're waiting on a miracle, a literal miracle. But Alan Arnold this morning said, if you want to see a miracle, you've got to put yourself in places where you actually need one. Some of you guys need that. But as we wait on that, hear this, and I'll close with this word from God. From Romans chapter 8. God knew. Let me back up here. I want to read a little bit more. All around us, verse 22, Romans 8, 22, all around us, we observe a pregnant creation. In fact, I'm going to back up a few more verses. You going through anything difficult right now? Yes. You're missing out on something, right? There is something that you're waiting for. And he says, starting in verse 18 of Romans 8, that's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is more or less being held back. God reins it in until both creation and created are ready and can be released. I like the word, the real word behind that is unleashed. So that we can be unleashed at the same moment into the glorious times that lay ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it is within us. Do you feel the pangs, the pain? It is within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why the waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what's enlarging us. But the longer we wait, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into something good. Every detail. God did not cause the difficulty that you are experiencing, but he is dead set on relieving it in due time so that you and all creation will be made new. And we will share in the glorious return of his Son, where there is no sorrow, there is no pain. And we shall rejoice together and rule over that which God has given us. Let's pray. Jesus, we don't belong in this mess, but we are here. Save us from it. Give us patience in the waiting, eyes to see and ears to hear your care and your direction, your tenderness, that you have not walked off and left us in our difficulty, but you are in it with us, Emmanuel, God with us. We shall not run to you because you have not left us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.